Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. This is a two-hour special broadcast. Our special guest, Mr. Dean Spencer. Dean's a homeless American, ladies and gentlemen. How did he get there? Could this be you? We're telling his story. You got to listen to the last hour, ladies and gentlemen. But Joe Nichols, country singer, has a song, If Nobody Believed in You. How would it be? Is that how we're treating the homeless in America? Now, if not mistaken, let me ask the board op this question. Isn't today May Day, ladies and gentlemen? Is that right? Jane Cameron and May Day? Yeah, I think May 1st is May Day, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's a long and varied history. It's May Day, folks. I know it is. I'm just kind of teasing. Is it May Day, right? What is May Day? It's a holiday rich in history and folklore, celebrating the return of spring. But what else is it? You ever heard the term May Day? May Day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling a May Day on the homeless. May Day, May Day. Don't they say that over the radio when things go bad? Yeah. May Day for the homeless, ladies and gentlemen. May Day for the homeless. I want to repeat that. Now, how should we deal with the homeless? Should we just think in our heart, hey, man, it's their fault, you know? If they just work, everything would be all right. It's not always the case, ladies and gentlemen. It's not always the reality. Things are more complicated in life. Life is messy, is it not? May Day for Christians to pay attention to who's around them. May Day for ministry. In your ministry, are you going to care for the lost? Are you going to go find the lost sheep? Are you going to care for your neighbor? Are you going to be the good Samaritan? Or are you just going to walk on by and go, by the grace of God, go I, baby. How's it going to be for you? All right, believe it or not, Brandon Heath, a Christian musician, created a song called Give Me Your Eyes. I want to play this. I want to listen to the lyrics very carefully. It directly relates to our discussion with Mr. Dean Spencer. Cameron? It starts out as a video, is why it's like this. Here's the song. Brandon Heath, Give Me Your Eyes.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared?
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 So I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord. Give me your eyes so I can see for everything that I keep missing. Give me your heart. For the broken hearted, give me your heart, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Spencer on your radio. 2 hour Liberty Roundtable Live special guest interview. Meet our brother, Dean Spencer. So the wheels fell off. You lost your wife. You lost your family. You lost your home. You lost your business. Let's start there, Dean. I know I'm fast forwarding a little bit, and I don't mean to ignore those parts of those very dear parts of your life that are very sensitive. But I do want to make sure that we get the whole story. So you end up losing everything. You end up really with some court problems. They took something that was innocent enough at the start, but yet, you know what? According to the law, they brought charges. The public defender told you to cop a plea. Didn't work out too well in the end. And now you're not only lost everything, but you're on the wrong side of the law, right?
Yeah, Sam, and that's kind of where I want to go with this is between this getting the divorce and these charges. I was very tempted to when I made that plea to withdraw it, and I talked to my public defender, and he said, "Yeah, I had a pretty good case to withdraw it because I was pressured into it that day." When I made that plea. So anyway, I get into this probation thing. So I went through and I didn't do anything about withdrawing my plea. I thought, well, I've never been in trouble, you know, a little bit, you know, just traffic stuff, but nothing like this. So I think, well, I can do probation. So anyway, I had to do 30 days on the work release. Well, in order to do that, I had to go find a job, a real job. And so I went and talked to a friend of mine, and he had a business doing some mechanic work. And so I went to work for him just so I could be on a work release. But in the meantime, I had all kinds of other stuff going on. And so I'm trying to juggle the books and make some money, more or less kind of under the table in secrecy because I didn't have a business license. So anyway, there at that, after that 30 days.
Let me be clear on this, ladies and gentlemen. At first you think, well, this is just a simple thing. Just go get your business license. Come on. But the problem with those scenarios for folks is when you're hand to mouth and you're just trying to bootstrap something, and you're just trying to deal with the best you can, and You know what? Where do you get the money? Wait a minute, I don't have an ID. Wait a minute, I'm a felon. Wait a minute, I'm a... And the problem is this circular reality starts to get to you where it's like, I mean to do it, but let me do this first. I think I can make some money today. And you know what? Then I'll have a little bit of money to go in to get my business license. And I actually might be able to eat today. And I might be able to... Is that the kind of thought process, Dean?
Yeah, it's you can't even explain it until you've been there. But anyway, so we decide to, you know, split the sheets or whatever. She more or less kicks me out. And my dad had a place where his sister had passed away. And so he had this place. I went over and more or less said I was going to live with him. Well, the probation officer was going to violate me because I didn't okay it with him when I moved. I said, so I've got to okay it with you before my wife kicks me out. And so, you know, I was raised where, you know, me and authority don't get
along. Are you kidding me right now? All right. So they're basically saying you gotta notify because you're a felon. You got to tell when you move, right?
Well, I'm not a felon. They reduced it to a misdemeanor.
I see. But you got to tell when to move because you're on probation. That's the story, right?
Because I'm on probation. I have to have a phone. See. I have to.
What do you mean you got to have a phone? What if you don't have one?
Well, that's the thing. Then you're violated. We actually had a phone, but I had to change the phone number, you know? And
all right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Dean Spencer on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
If you heard the commercial break from a senator in the halls of Congress, right on down to the lowliest Americans, they say the solution to most, if not all, of our problems is a family. The things of greatest worth and importance, God, family, and country. And that's what this whole 25-plus year history of Liberty Roundtable Live Radio Broadcasting is all about. By the way, it is our 25th year in broadcasting. We're celebrating all year long. Today is May 1st in the year of our Lord, 2021, May Day. We are in the middle of a special two-hour broadcast talking about the homeless, talking about our dear friend Dean Spencer. He's a homeless American. Americans hear Dean's story. How did this happen? Right? How did he get there? Could this be you? I ask. All right, it is May Day. Brandon Heath, give me your eyes. Are we going to look through different eyes at these people? What is the solution to America's homeless problem? We'll get into that as the broadcast continues. But for now, Dean's telling you that, so we got on the wrong side of the law. It just seems to get worse. So you basically have a misdemeanor. Thank heavens it wasn't felonies. But then you have probation. Got to reform poor Dean. And so then, never mind that he doesn't really need reform, ladies and gentlemen. What happened is he just got behind the eight ball and made some mistakes and then tried to kind of cover it up in hopes that he could right the ship. And in that effort, things went all south. And now the law's got a hold of him. And so now he didn't change his phone number and he moved and he didn't catch everybody up to speed like he should have, right? A lot of things you should have done but didn't. And are those criminal activities or just scrambling, right? So then what happens, Dean?
Well, the next thing is just a bunch of history of the revolving door to the criminal justice system. So by now, we was having to move out of that place that my dad was in about a month or so later, a couple months later. So now I'm feuding with the probation officer all the time over some frivolous stuff because I've got customers calling him about their vehicles and stuff. So now I want to move. I just want out. So I wanted to move down to the St. George area. So I talked to him. I says, what have I got to do? I want to move. He says, well, you've got to have
a
job.
And let me add to this. The reason that you want to move is what you really want is a break in the cycle and a hope for a new start. Is that an accurate statement?
Perfect. Yes. That's what I wanted.
Go ahead, sir. I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to kind of make sure people understand
the
logic, the thinking. You're not just trying to bail to get out of everything. You're really trying to say, I just need a fresh start, though. This has just got to stop, and I need a chance here.
Right.
Go ahead, sir.
So now I've still got all kinds of vehicles and stuff scattered everywhere. And so I want to move down to the Luverican area, Hurricane, down southern Utah. So I get an address. I get a job down there. This is right around Christmas time. I come back and I tell him, I said, I want to move. Well, I won't move your file. I won't move a dirty file you got behind last month on your payments. I was trying to make payments on that loan that I defaulted on. So I got behind one payment, and he wouldn't move my file. So in my mind, I says, heck with this. I'm not doing it anymore. Because I've already moved. So I just started running from the law. The next thing you know, I was coming back and forth to Utah County, hauling vehicles back. Next thing you know, I get into town. There's the red and blues. More charges, probation violations. And it was just a little bit at the start, you know, a couple days here, a couple days there. But it was every year, plus more charges. So every year this started about 1994 when I got divorced. By 1998, you know, I'd violated like four times, kind of got out of it. I did get virtually escaped out of it every time, just by a few days. But every time I get locked up, you know, I'd have stuff scattered everywhere and no help. And so now in 98, you know, this judge was just pissed off. And he gives me like 8 months and no good time. So that's equivalent to a year. By now I'm starting to read the law books and thinking, oh, boy, I've messed up.
Why is he so mad? Does he think you're just continuing to violate? Are you escalating this thing? Are you talking back in court? What's causing his anger here?
just because I keep violating the probation thing.
And why do you keep violating the probation thing?
Because I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, I just couldn't do it. I mean, you get out of jail and you got all this stuff on your mind. By now, I got dozens of cars that I've been moving down to the St. George area and trying to get a business going again. Because you just can't go out and make 10, 20 bucks an hour when you've got hundreds and hundreds of dollars an hour in debt and being raised like I was. You know, I have a conscience. I want to try to, pay back. Plus, I've got kids. You know, I haven't seen my kids. A couple times my wife dumped two of my boys on me when we're homeless. We're living in storage units with two of my sons. And I told them one day, I said, I've been having these dreams. I'm going back to jail. We drove up to Utah to drop them off at their mom. Red and blues. I'm arrested with them in the vehicle. So now this isn't looking good. You know, all these charges are just stacking up and stacking up. I don't have money to pay the fines. I don't have money to pay back on this loan. I don't have any money. I can't work. I'm constantly locked up. Or, you know, and every time you get locked up, they impound everything you have. Yeah. And it's impossible. I hate to say it, but there's no way out. And so by now, I do that 8 months, everything I have down to, you know, I got close to $1 million worth of vehicles and stuff, collector cars and stuff. And plus all my what few belongings I had and few belongings that from years ago from the farm that I had to take possession of. All of it went away, Sam.
I mean, so, people are going to say to me, wait a minute, Dean, all you got to do is sell one of your expensive cars, get the cash, get out of debt. You're good to go, right?
Oh, yeah, but these cars are in the middle of being restored. They're virtually worthless unless they're running. And a lot of it is parts, tools.
Now, I get it. I'm drilling in because I want people to understand. Because at first glance, you go, oh, this is so simple, Sam. Come on. No, it isn't, folks. You got a bunch of cars. They might be valuable cars because of their age, their vintage, or whatever. But you sell it and you get, $600. It isn't going to help you. Where are you going to put it? In what bank account? The bank account the government's watching? Okay, where do you go? And so you say, well, wait a minute, sell that, sell a title, and then, well, you got the cash, and then, hey, the cops, the red and blue gets the cash, and now what are you doing without, where'd you get that cash, my friend? What are you doing? And, okay, it all goes sideways. And I don't bring it up to challenge Dean as much as to get the story out. I want people to understand. And so Dean's got these vehicles, he's trying to restore them, but the problem is, how do you get the parts? Oh, you got to have money to get the parts, right? I got a part now. I can put it out. Wait a minute. I don't have the right tool that I need because I had my tools, but when I had to move or when I this or that, then I lost this and that. It's this tale of never getting the option. What option? Where's my option, ladies and gentlemen? Listen up, folks. Buying time, all those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared? Liberty Round Table.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arm.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brandon Gunn.
President Biden visited Philadelphia on Friday to stump for his newly proposed infrastructure bill. He spoke at the 30th Street Amtrak station, celebrating the 50th year of service.
As I've said from the beginning, when I think about fighting climate change, I think about jobs and rail, and hopefully the expansion of rail provides good union jobs, good paying jobs.
Amtrak said after Biden announced the plan that the corporation would upgrade and expand service, including adding 30 new routes and adding trains on 20 existing routes across the U.S. by 2035. Houston police officers were called to a home after receiving a report of a kidnapping. They found more than 90 people jammed in a two-story home in what authorities are saying could be a possible human smuggling operation. Neighbors didn't report any suspicious activity, and the police didn't release information on the kidnapping call that led to the discovery. This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare, and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The Florida legislature passed a bill this week that would forbid social media companies like Facebook or Twitter to ban elected officials from communicating on their platforms. Governor Ron DeSantis has pledged to sign the bill. The move comes 3 months after social media giants YouTube and Twitter removed former President Donald Trump from their platforms, a decision which many commentators warn could indicate that big tech has too much power over political speech. Delta soon to expand the number of available seats on its flights. USA's Tim Berg has more.
Delta began selling middle seat tickets today. The airline waiting longer than any others to open up entire planes again. The seats had been blocked to allow for social distancing as a COVID safety measure. The CEO saying he expects nearly 65% of those who flew Delta in 2019 to have at least one vaccination dose by tomorrow, but masks are still required on flights. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give me your eyes. What he's talking about is, hey, we as humanoids just don't quite cut the mustard when it comes to compassion, when it comes to caring for others, when it comes to assessing situations. You know, I had a friend tell a story about, you know what, if you are in the ministering business, I don't mean financially, I mean that you care for others, that you're your brother's keeper, that you take your covenants at baptism to bear one another's burdens, etc. seriously. So if you are in the caring business, or if you're in the Christian business, the ministry business, then you say, if you look at people, you got to assume 50% of them, half of them are in trouble. Your job is to find out which half. And then your job is to do something about it. What is the solution to America's homeless problem? What is the solution to America's problems? Does it all start with the parable of the Good Samaritan? I think to a great degree, it does, ladies and gentlemen. I really think that is the answer. It is about God, family, country, but it is about living a Christian life. It is about looking out for those around you. We're hearing the story of Dean Spencer in our two-hour special interview. So, Dean literally got on the wrong side of the law. Things went all rough. Things spiraled down. You literally lost everything now. You don't have any cars now, do you, Dean?
Oh, not really. I got a couple scattered here and there still. But what I want to get back to is the law a little bit. and why these people are caught up in this when you get the homeless situation. This that judge made that ruling on May 12th of 1998. Now, what had happened that very day was a law had changed on the good time law, where it now give judges the authority to grant it or not to grant it, and then they changed it for the felons to get it too in jail. But what I found out when I got looking at the law, because now I'm studying the law, and I thought he didn't have authority to say that on a misdemeanor. But I'm finding out those laws changed. But he was about 7 hours premature, which I found out about 4 months later. He made the wrong ruling. He sentenced me to death when he didn't have the authority. And what had happened when I realized I didn't have an attorney there present. And so I remember when I was going to withdraw that plea that I says, as soon as I make this plea, you're done. He says, oh, no, we're not done until you're completed your sentence. We're still appointed to you. So I thought, well, where was my attorney? And so I'm looking to calling up the all these attorneys' offices, and it went back and forth. Well, this is a felony. No, it was a misdemeanor. So finally they appointed one. But I didn't receive any paperwork when I come back to the jail. I thought, this is odd. I want to see my paperwork. So finally he goes and gets some paperwork, a docket, which that's not what I wanted. They used to give you a pink piece of paper every time you went to court. They don't give you anything now. I can see why. Well, they had changed the dates to May 14th instead of May 12th. I thought, well, this is odd. So I'm going to do something about this. And so the more I pushed for the papers, the more they cooked the books. And they have a judge rotation here in Utah, and it rotated to different judges. And this other judge was the one that changed the dates. So now, you know, we got people cooking the books, and these are somebody, the clerk or the judges, and I couldn't figure out why till months later. So now, the more you know about the law, when you start getting these, when you start exposing it, they go after you. And so that kind of went away at this time. But now I'm thinking, I've lost everything. I am not going to ever do this again. But still, I had all these other charges, you know, that I thought at the time was pretty much done. But there was one charge where I got a DUI sleeping in my truck. And that's what really started a lot of this stuff. And
again. You got what for sleeping in your truck?
I got a DUI. I was sleeping in a truck at a friend's house, and he drove the truck there because he said, "Well, you don't have a license." But anyway, I was moving again to another down to Oak City, Utah. Had a house rented down there. Now I'm off probation. I've been back to work doing some masonry, and was just finishing up a job, and was just going to move down to Oak City, start a new get away, because I had some property down in that area. I had 700 acres down there. So anyway, I get jerked out of that truck at 1 o'clock in the morning by a mad highway patrolman and get a DUI. And then he found out, oh, there was some other warrants out for my arrest, because they don't take care of all this stuff while you're in jail. They put out more fines while you're in jail. So it's just a constant warrant for my arrest, you know, even when I go to jail. And so he arrests me. Oh, yeah, that was one of the times on the probation violation. So there was a warrant for my arrest on the probation violation. And me and this officer really get into it. And he calls me a bunch of names and, you know, about what my wife leave me and all this stuff. And, oh, my heck. It was just so embarrassing. Even the other cops that were around there going, well, what's wrong with this guy? And he just kept going on and on and on all the way down to the jail. And even the jailer that booked me in, because the last thing he says, just throw the book at this guy. And she goes, what in the heck is up with that cop? And so that charge, I fought and fought and fought and fought. And it went around and around and into the court system. And it got tangled up to where I was in the wrong courtroom. And they were having a jury trial without me, with a public defender that was appointed to me that I never met with. It wouldn't return my phone calls. And when I'm sitting in another courtroom, he goes, oh, you're supposed to be over in the other courtroom. And so when I get over there, they'd already had the trial, just buttoning up the trial without me in absentia. Well, I said, well, I was supposed to be over in this other judge's courtroom. So he so we start the trial over again. I got all these witnesses there that I didn't drive the truck there. But I basically wasn't drunk. I'd had one beer and brought that out into the truck, and it wasn't even finished. It was a beer bottle, bottled beer, because that's what my buddy drank. And I had a dog, a little dog, and I said, I got to get up early in the morning to move to Oak City. And I got my dog out there, and I just like sleeping with my dog. And so now, Sam, anyway, when he goes to present the witnesses, they wouldn't allow him on the stand because they weren't there for voir dire, they call it. There wasn't
all right, Dean Spencer, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Listen up. Kids want to act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why Liberty. Sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith round alive. Table. Love is found. Live.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA. The big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah. Madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people
come on.
Dying, children hurt, and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? And won't you turn the other cheek? Father, Father, Father.
Where is the love, ladies and gentlemen? Where is the love? That's what I want to know in our society. So basically, Dean Spencer gets on the wrong side of the law. DUI, debatable. The problem is under the gun, on probation. The list goes on and on and on. Now, I'm not defending Dean's actions. I'm just telling you the reality of some people's lives. Some of it's bad choices. Dean will admit to that. He already said so. He didn't realize what was important. He meant well, but he got... well, in his effort to save face, he got behind the eight ball, and then it just kind of went worse from there. And then eventually kind of threw in the towel and said, man, I can't do this anymore. Sadly, we all feel that way to a great degree. What's the difference between you and Dean? Is it that when things went wrong for you, you didn't get a bad break here and a bad break there, and you made a different choice? And how much of it can we control versus how much of it controls us? You know what? I don't know the answers, and I don't know every situation. What I do know, though, is God has the love. The Savior, Jesus Christ, does know, is aware, and does care. Individually, God knows you, my fellow Americans. Individually, He knows your struggles, your fears, your concerns, your failings, your prayers, your hopes, your successes. The secret desires of your heart. He knows all of it. And there is hope, ladies and gentlemen. There is hope. We got to know where to look for it. So, Dean, as you got on the wrong side of the law and things spiraled and mishap after mishap happened, part of it was that you decided to fight back and say, look, this corrupt system is abusing me. I'm going to study the law and fight back. So you filed a gazillion lawsuits, and you won many of them. Some of them have been questionable and still hang around. But you thought you could stop the abuse by educating yourself and fighting back. It didn't work too well because the system doesn't obey the very law you were studying. Is that the summation of the discovery?
Yeah, it is, Sam. I don't know how to say, but the system is just not working. But it could. I do much better at working on somebody else's case and seeing what I have all these friends that get locked up. Most of them are homeless, you know, and they throw the book at them. They can't fight their charges because they've got to plead guilty to get it over with, because these guys will have to pay bail. And so there's got to be an answer where, and I understand most of them have problems, you know. They got problems with drugs and alcohol, but it's a thing where it's a hopeless thing for them. But the homeless shelters and stuff do everything to separate the family. You know, when you don't have anything, things are very important, just little things, you know. And when I see these bulldozers come in and scooping up these tents, where do they go? You know, I think we need, on the LDS beliefs, they were building Nauvoo houses. And the Nauvoo house was a place for the weary traveler that was actually more important than the temples. But we forgot about things like this. I've read a bunch of laws on charity and stuff. When you, it's a barometer for society. If you don't take after the poor and the needy and the elderly and the infants and the mentally ill, you've just lost touch with society. The society breaks down from you know, this is the big dogs that know everything about these charity laws. Now, I read some of these old laws, like going back to the Franks and that, where they would set for say, like every 10,000 people, there would be four people assigned to look over those 10,000 people where they were the poor and the needy. But hopefully I could be able to do something. They threw me into the mental health deal. And one of the last, I had to be restored to go to court this last time. So this lady, that the psychiatrist had come down and interviewed me to restore, quote unquote, restore me to go to court. She was from New York, and we talked for like 3 minutes. She closes up her folder and says, "Why are me and you even talking?" And so she knew right off that there was nothing mentally ill about me. But she had all these charges in front of her. And so we go on and all this stuff. And we become pretty good friends. And, you know, I basically told her, you know, I can't remember one of the last interviews we had. You know, I just said, I'm just pissed off at the whole world. And anyway, I'm just sick of society. And she's reading off these charges, and I says, "Well, why don't you pick one of those charges, and you tell me which one I'm guilty on?" And she goes, "Well, I got a problem with this one. But anyway, those charges end up getting dropped because it was all just thrown on me. But this ruined my life for the last couple of years. But I look over and she's got tears in her eyes, and she says something like, "I hope you can do something for the poor, you know." But anyway, I thought this is pretty odd, and it really touched me. But I was reading in the Judaism. I got some books on Judaism, and they said, under poverty, it's worse than 50 plagues coming down on you. That's pretty strong. And it is, because it consumes every waking moment of your life. You just don't know what to do.
All right, I want to talk about the solutions a little bit before the end of the hour, Dean, because I believe that's the question. What do we do? And you're looking at it from the homeless side. Now you've had a good friend kind of take you in, so you're not totally homeless now. You've got a phone. and a couple of things. You're trying to work. You're trying to kind of get out of it. Things are looking up in some ways for you. But in some ways, though, you don't want to jettison the plight even if you get out of it. You're not all the way out of it, but you're on your way. But you don't want to jettison the plight of those in it. You understand it. And, you know, how do you do something to not only save yourself, but care for others? And I think we might start with the, what do they call these things? Faith, hope, and charity might be the ideals that society should live by. Faith, hope, and charity are the three theological virtues that define mankind's ideal relationship to God Almighty. And I think that we can start there with faith, hope, and charity. And you know what? These people have problems. We're not saying that they don't. They're there partially because they have problems. They're also there through no fault of their own many times. And each person has a unique, different capacity to heal and to come back. But what are we doing? Are we adding insult to injury as a society? Or are we going to do things that could create a chance, a second chance, a third chance? How many chances does Christ give us? And so I think, Dean, that the Christian principles are the only way back. Now, I'm not telling you what religion you have to be. I'm just telling you that the principles of keeping the Sabbath day holy and turning to God in prayer and learning to live by faith, hope, and charity on all sides are the only answers. I mean, it's fine to give someone a hand up, not a handout, and give them a start. I get all that. There's a lot of fundamentals that go along with this. But kind of like the Alcoholics Anonymous plan, I don't think there's a way back without God. Not only for those who are homeless, but for those who of us who, well, like Brandon Heath and Give Me Your Eyes, didn't realize, you know what, the mistakes we were making, the ignoring that we were doing, the, you know what, I'm distanced from it, I live a mile high, so I don't see it, idea. We all have a lot of changing and repenting to do. But I think if we rally around the principles taught by Christ himself, some call him a great philosopher, I call him the true Son of God. But I believe those are the answers. Dean, do you want to respond to my assertions?
Well, yeah, it takes faith in God where, you know, I totally believe in God, you know, and when I think I have a plan, God changes it. So, but the plan is, it's your neighbor. I remember being raised on that farm where our neighbor came first, basically. And so if we could just reach out to the neighbors, and it's like this wealthy guy that took me in. We met up, he was from Canada. We met up in the early 70s when I was on the farm. And his parents sent him up here because he's running into little trouble, thinking the Mormons are going to, because they were LDS, thinking this community would straighten him out, and then he run into me. But anyway, our personalities are almost like identical. So when we met up, he's a billionaire, you know, several times over. So here's one thing where, is he blessed or am I blessed? See, I have more to offer than probably you do because I don't have any baggage. And this is what I've always been wanting to get going on. If these people like him could sponsor maybe getting some acreage and getting some gardens growing and to come together as in like a community atmosphere to have something to look forward to, have their own little plot of land, so to speak, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, I Dean, I want to stop you there because we're flat out of time, but I want to do this, ladies and gentlemen. I want to continue the saga. I want to be engaged and commit publicly before you all to do something more about this than I have hitherto done. How can I be involved with Dean? What can I do to help? We will highlight this case going forward on your radio. This is where the rubber meets the road, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have real faith, hope, and charity? God save the Republic.